So hi, my name is Jeremy.
Hi, I'm Nick.
We are Cloud of Witnesses.
Thinking like the saints.
You guys were really, really excited. As you know, if you've been following Cloud of Witnesses for a while now, this is kind of a new chapter, a new element to our podcast. Mm-hmm. And we are thrilled and blessed to be able to invite onto our podcast today, onto Thinking Like the Saints, Synaxis Podcast, which is produced and put together by Jordan and by Joshua. Jordan and Joshua, welcome.
Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having us. Thanks so much for having us. It's great to be with you guys.
So for our audience, would you guys mind saying which one of you is Jordan, which one of you is Joshua? Probably would be helpful for our audience. Yeah.
I'm Jordan.
And I'm Josh.
Awesome.
Welcome. We
so we could talk for hours. And you may already know that there is either a part one or a part two of this, where Synaxis Podcast interviewed Cloud of Witnesses, Journey with the Saints. And so we are carrying that on now, talking with Synaxis Podcast.
Yeah, that was Jordan a great one, if I may say so myself. We'll put the link up. It'll be up in the corner somewhere. So they'll say
somewhere in one of these places. We like to joke about how professional we all are as we are throwing the train tracks down, right?
And figuring we're just winging it.
But you know what, though? But that's the beautiful thing, and that's why I love talking with you guys. What a blessing it is to talk about our shared faith, to talk about the love of making podcasts, creating Christian content. You guys are obviously right in line with what we our vision is as well. You guys share that same thing.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Us started, Jordan, sorry, I'm going to let you go.
Please.
Tell us what was the impetus? What was the kernel that started Synaxis Podcast?
Really? It's really just our friendship. We spend a lot of time talking about things we find interesting. And there was one particular road trip where it was just the two of us stuck in a car together trying to pass the time. And we realized, man, this is an entertaining conversation. If we like it, maybe other people will. And it took a while for us to really try our hand at it, but that was the initiatory.
Yeah, the Montanica car trip.
Nice.
Yeah. Where were you guys going, if you don't mind me asking? How long of a car trip are we talking here?
We went out to Montana. It was actually, there was a conference out there, the first Montanica conference. Father Deacon Ananias put that on. And it's gotten bigger since. We haven't been able to go to, I think they're on the third or fourth one, maybe even fifth one now. I don't know how many they've had since then. But yeah, that first one was pretty small. It was a bunch of speakers. It was Jay Dyer, Brother Augustine,
David Patrick Harry, Church of the Eternal Logos.
Yes. Nice.
And Father
the
Deacon.
Usual suspects.
Yeah exactly. Great. The whole crew.
So for our listeners who may not know who you guys are, could you guys describe, like, what is the purpose? What's the thesis of your guys' podcast, if you guys have one?
Yeah, it occurs to me now, we haven't been working on our elevator pitch. So
exactly.
But now's your chance.
Yeah, now's our chance. Yeah, let's see what we can come up with. well, I think we didn't really know exactly what the podcast was going to be, it's still kind of becoming whatever it is. But there's like this cross section of orthodoxy, pop culture, literature, philosophy, occultism, conspiracy theories, all of these things that we've been enthusiastic about for years.
Vampires.
Yeah.
Dracula. Jordan and I have known each other for more than 10 years now, and we've been friends for a long time. So before I was even interested in orthodoxy, we had a similar crossover with being interested in conspiracies and some geopolitical stuff and philosophy a lot. So
that is really cool. So Josh, I want to hear a little bit about this. So even as long as you've known Jordan, you weren't an Orthodox Christian previously.
That's really interesting.
I was definitely not an Orthodox Christian.
Do you mind telling a little bit of that story? Because that sounds like that is part of this. Because your guys' friendship, as you said, I mean, that's a big part of what this podcast is, right? It's you guys really, I don't want to say riffing, but I'll just say it, riffing off one another, talking about these things you're passionate about and kind of, you know, uncovering for your audience the distinction between those, you know, occultism and pop culture, et cetera, compared to, you know, juxtaposed with orthodoxy. Would you mind, Josh? I'd love to hear a little bit of your journey.
Yeah, I met Jordan and I worked together in a kitchen at a Christian camp a long time ago. And it was a Protestant kind of camp. And I was definitely not Christian at the time. And I was quite argumentative. And Jordan was, were you fully Orthodox at that time?
I was either a catechumen or recently baptized. It was nice. It was early on in my conversion for sure. So
yeah. And he was a very good influence on me. I was into philosophy and I would definitely argue with a lot of the people there. And Jordan was a really good interaction with Christ-like love and someone who is very compassionate and loving and very intelligent. So we could kind of riff back and forth and joke with each other. And we had a huge crossover that we were interested in conspiracies. And there was just because he was into philosophy as well, like we could really go back and forth with each other in a way that was like really meaningful. And we kept the friendship for a long time. And at that time I was certainly not Christian. I was doing more of a Burning Man kind of lifestyle, I don't want to go too much into it, but yeah,
I'm feeling those vibes. I get those vibes.
Yeah, totally. So I was definitely along that line. And now Jordan and I go to the same parish and
that's awesome.
Yeah. Jordan's been a big influence on my life. So
that's good. Guy.
Glory to God.
Amen.
That's amazing.
Amen. Well, and if I can add to that.
Yeah, please do.
On my side of it, Josh, I definitely found him to be a kindred spirit, like right away. And he was always like really challenging in this really engaging way to this faith that was pretty new to me that I had accepted already, but I hadn't fully explored. And so like all of the things he was hitting me with helped me kind of hone things and get sharper and to dig deeper into that stuff. So it was definitely a reciprocal relationship.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's providential right there. That's amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's great.
I got to say, Josh, we've obviously just met tonight, but I have the pleasure as well of saying that I've known Jordan for quite a while now. I don't even know. I think it's probably 10 years. So I think it's around the same time, around 10 years or so. Yeah. Even though we weren't always in touch through all of it, everything you said, Josh, I absolutely, Jordan, you've always just had this warmth, this sincerity.
Dude, Jordan's the best, dude.
He's the best. Let's just say it. He's the best. And so it
Stop
is
it.
It's huge. When I discovered your podcast and saw what you were doing, Jordan, I was like, makes perfect sense. That's Jordan. That's, I can see why it kind of birthed, from a true passion. And that's where I think makes Synaxis podcast what it is. And I think it's why your audience is growing so quickly because it's authentic, right? Mm. You can't fake this stuff, or at least I don't know. I can't, I wouldn't be able to do it well. So I just want to say that and kind of second what you said, Josh. Jordan is a blessing, and he's been a blessing in my life as well.
That's really sweet. Right back at you, both of you guys. I said Josh, and even with Jeremy, all you guys, somehow, just there's definitely a kindred spirit thing going on.
Yeah, that's great. One thing that always amazed me is that there is that kindred spirit in Orthodoxy where the genuine spirit of a believer will really, it's magnetic. You can really feel that burning faith. And it's always really amazing to come into contact with people of even similar backgrounds. You can really feel that kindred spirit even more 100%, at times.
100%. And that, it brings me to something you guys talked about, right? You talked about Synaxis podcast. You said you're kind of maybe still trying to figure out your elevator pitch or, maybe what you guys are doing. But from what I've heard of your podcast, you are jumping into this world that is rife for analysis, right? And rife for critique. And that's what, and I love even the element of pop culture in terms of like your most recent episode of talking about vampirism and getting into that in a serious way, right? Mm-hmm. And of course you guys have fun on that episode, but there's a very serious element to it. you guys are part of a growing Orthodox enclave that you guys, you've already mentioned some of the major players in that space. What do you guys think Synaxis Podcast is bringing that isn't being represented in some of those other, you know, I would call them like mega size, you know, Orthodox podcasts that we all probably all watch?
I have a joke answer.
I was trying not to joke answer.
Is that we're for the midwit crowd because all those guys are galaxy brains. And so we we get to dumb it down for the simpler folk like you.
That's why I'm such a big fan. That's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. You nailed it. Yeah.
It appeals to the midwit.
Yeah. And this is something I've been kind of trying to wrestle with, because it's like, are we adding anything new? Like, what is it?
No, but you definitely are, though. You are. Yeah. I just want to hear it from you guys, you know?
What I've noticed, if I could say something, is that, and you guys have already said it, which is it seems like you guys are tapping into a world of subcultures, right? Whether it's like punk or controversial conspiracies, or trying to think of other ones. Yeah, exactly. Music, philosophy, you know, even occultism. It seems like you guys are trying to reach people, you know, who are wrestling with different worldviews, you know, very radical worldviews. Yet there are people, you know, who subscribe to this, and it's a very turbulent worldview. That whole thing, they kind of, to some extent, they all kind of interweave within each other, you know, and it seems like you guys, you know, having the background you guys have, you guys are trying to meet those people. I'm guessing a lot of your audience is, you know, are people who either have a background in that or are trying to come to Orthodoxy from a background like that. I could be mistaken, though.
Thank you so much for saying that. That helped me out, because I think I might be a little bit too close to it to, you know, to have an
interesting
discussion. See the trees,
forest for the trees.
Yeah. There you go. But that definitely helped unlock a couple things, because that's the world I come from. Like, I'm a convert. I think most of us are, but before I became Orthodox, and even after becoming Orthodox, I've been steeped in the spirit of this age, and everything that comes with that.
Yeah.
And I think the big part of it, and probably why I have this sort of proclivity towards this, is I'm still making sense of it for myself.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like an extension of what we were talking about, where Josh was challenging me with all of these all these questions, and like, how can you believe this? Like, what, all of these things, they're so bewildering, and maybe sometimes they don't even make sense, especially to like the modern mind. Like, what, how can you have faith in this thing? And so I think a lot of what we're doing is trying to straighten it out. And like, I really liked how you described it, of us like taking all of this like pop culture and all these ideas and almost like trying to dissect it in the light of Orthodoxy.
Yeah.
And seeing what comes out of that. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I think in one sense it's considered niche, but in another sense, it seems like the whole world is kind of gravitating towards this general chaotic darkness, you know? I mean, even with the weird thing is, the overlapping of pop culture and occultism, right? Like, you know, you can get into that whole rabbit hole on YouTube, etc., but it's like, it's there, you know, it's pretty obvious in Hollywood. You know, so it's really interesting that there's that whole world that's kind of underneath the surface. People only see what's on the outside, but then it's like, what about what's happening spiritually? And with Orthodox, you can actually dissect things like that, you know, and I think it really is necessary for a lot of people who really want to, like you guys said, who have that insight, that philosophical insight to really analyze things, then to have the power of the fathers in Orthodoxy to really get those topics and dissect them. It's really, I find it really necessary, you know, just like, that's why I love Father Seraphim Rose. He came from that world, you know, and he is like a trailblazer with that. Right. So
yeah, Father Seraphim Rose is a big influence on me. I was I was, like I said, I was in the Burning Man life for a long time. And I was really into Alan Watts, who is someone that Seraphim Rose learned from. And I got really into Taoism, and he started learning Taoism and learning Mandarin Chinese. So like the commonalities between him and I'm not as cool as Seraphim Rose at all, but there are definitely similarities that made that made him very appealing to me. And he's a huge influence on both of us for sure.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, we've said this before, but actually Daniel, who runs the bookstore, I think said this, is that Father Seraphim Rose has become the patron saint of lost Westerners.
I love that.
Yeah, and I really identify with that, because he was huge for me too. I mean, I think he was the one that really, in a way, it sounds self-aggrandizing, but I mean, I guess we're trying to continue what he did. It just makes sense of this.
I was actually just going to say that. I think in many ways, that's what it is. You said the lost Westerners. I think of, there's even something very Californian, which I, in a good way, with Father Seraphim Rose, that connection to, he was right here. I mean, we're blessed. We're in San Diego right now.
Yeah.
He went to San Diego High School.
Yeah. It's like two exits away from here.
It's wild.
Yeah.
But that reality, you know, you guys that were, you know, joking around earlier, you know, talking about, you know, the podcast and, you know, maybe not being, you don't see you guys as yourselves as scholars or whatnot. I'm not saying that, but if you're taking that, the message of Father Seraphim Rose, the faith lived out in this Western California culture, and you're hitting it on all those points, because everything you guys talk about, that's California. That's Oregon, right? That's Seattle. That it's all there. Mm-hmm. And you guys are going to be touching on that vein, if you will. And I think that's incredibly powerful and needful.
Thank God. Yeah. It's really cool to hear that.
I also have that internet brain, in the sense that there's so many little snippets. I don't know where it comes from, but some priest said that it's the duty of every Christian in every age to something like reintroduce the gospel in that paradigm, in the paradigm of their people, something like that.
Mm.
I think Father Seraphim Rose, he really passed that torch on to us, you know, because there's just something with his works where I just feel like it's just, I don't want to say a regular guy, but someone who knows the life that I'm living. I can relate it. And yet, like what you were saying on our interview, it's traditional orthodoxy, it's staunch orthodoxy, but he's reaching the people of the modern age.
Yeah, that's it. That's great. And a quote I think about a lot is St. Ignatius Brianchaninov, where he says, get to know the spirit of the age so that you can resist its influence as far as possible. That was a paraphrase.
That's exactly it.
So necessary these days.
Yeah. What is kind of beautiful, I think I've seen a parallel between our podcasts. You guys talked about, or we talked about on Cloud of Witnesses, how we are retelling the lives of the saints, and we have that almost endless source of the stories of their lives. I think you guys, similarly, in contrasting the world and modern culture and California and, you know, all these things with orthodoxy, right? You have the beautiful blessing of the history of our church, right? The fathers of the church, the saints of the church, as like this beacon, you know, and you guys can shine a light on all those things. And it's such a dynamic contrast.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of your podcast. You're able to talk about all these things with, as you said, Jordan, within the context, or how maybe it's opposed to or incongruent with orthodoxy, right? With true ancient Christianity. And I don't know, I commend you guys for taking that on. I want to hear more about, like, what are some of the things that you're heading into now? Is there
any sneak peeks?
Yeah. Is there anything coming up?
Any spoiler
that
alerts
you guys are thinking about, praying about, that's been in your lives recently that we're going to probably see come out in your podcast soon?
Yeah. There's one thing that we've been wanting to do for a while, but I think we need to let it simmer and spend more time with it. But we really want to talk about the Romanian prison camps.
Yeah.
And the re-education experiments that went on there.
I don't want to cut you off. I'm sorry. It's our interviewing of you. So please speak on.
No, I was about to change the subject. So we should stay on that though. We should stay for a second.
We're going to call Nick the derailer.
Yeah. No, it's so interesting. Cause right now, I feel a personal affinity towards specifically the Romanian, those who suffered in the Romanian camps, because the Romanian camps were just so diabolical. I feel like in one sense, us on the far West, or, you know, in the modern West, wherever, even if we're not geographically there, but philosophically and spiritually there, it's its own camp. It's its own brainwashing, you know? And I think that, that I see them also as beacons of light to get out of the darkness and the manipulation that was forced upon them, you know? Absolutely. So it's amazing, because I'm actually reading the book, The Saint of the Prisons, which
is... I'm just going to grab it, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, Monk Moise. Yes. Yep, I'm reading the same one. Nice. That's awesome. Yeah,
that's going to be one of the things we draw from, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Have you read Father George Calciu?
Oh, yeah.
Collected Talks and Homilies?
Yeah. I'm going to give you guys another exclusive scoop. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I'll cut this out, but... So at our parish, they were pretty close with Father George. He came around and taught them, and they recorded a bunch of his lectures, and they have them on cassette tapes, and we're going to pull them out and potentially digitize them and hopefully use some of that and get it out there.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Father George was huge for me. His sermons were so powerful. Those 7 sermons that he gave after he came out of the prisons, and he was so bold and fearless, and he went back in again because of it. Yeah. And there are so many uplifting stories in like the darkest conditions you could even, like, worse than you can imagine.
And
to see that light come out, it's just like you were saying, that contrast of light and darkness, like that struggle, is so beautiful and inspiring. And that's why I want to talk about it. So I'm excited to put an episode together about that, for sure.
That's great. Any material or content that brings light to the suffering of these Christians in Eastern Europe and Russia. I mean, they're right. I mean, they're maybe 100 years ago, you know, I mean, they're right there, and it's just such an intense history, and it's right there. And somehow it's all just been,
it's startling that it's not more well known, for sure.
Yeah, right. It's crazy. It needs to be brought to light. It really needs to be brought to light. So,
in the West,
yeah,
exactly.
In the West,
we're so our ears are shut, you know, to everything. Nothing matters except for what's happening in the United States, and we're such a, you know, myopic culture.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
that's incredible. I'm curious. Do you guys see that even? I think that's kind of we talked about miracles earlier. I see that as almost this, what an amazing blessing for your ministry, for Synaxis Podcast, to have access to those sermons, to those cassette tapes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a beautiful thing you guys can bring and share with the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. And they just have a treasure trove they've been sitting on. They save much stuff. And it's not just Father George, there's stuff in there. We'll probably have clear it with, I mean, there's Father Damascene's in there. They're like, we'll have to get permission for that stuff, and we'll see. I might even want to like start just a completely new channel just to get all those out, like we'll see what comes of that. That is really exciting.
It's amazing.
But I mean, it seems like there's this progression that we've been on. You guys were talking in our interview, our other one, about like this sort of providential, like almost miraculous opening of the path for you guys to tread down. And I'm like, retrospectively, I'm seeing, because we it almost feels like a whimsy. It's like, what are we going to talk about next? Oh, this sounds cool, let's do vampires and stuff like that. And that was, I mean, a seasonal thing too, but I'm looking back at sort of the trajectory. We started with an intro, but like, and then we moved into like Gnostic thought in heavy metal. UFOs and like all that, if it's ties to like the occult and also like geopolitics, a crazy nexus of like black magic and high up authority. And
orthodoxy
then
and the religion of the future. Anybody?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And then what do we do after that? Oh, we talked about, oh yeah. So we talked about superheroes and one comic book writer in particular, who's steeped in all of those things. We just talked about the occult and Gnosticism. And it's his mission to encode these things that he got from entities, his experience with entities. And he explicitly wants to write spells into his comic books. And he's a very popular, highly regarded writer. And then
Lord of Mercy.
And then we looked at he wrote an adaptation of Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, a TV series. And so we looked at that. And that involves a lot of things about like Neo-Pavlovian conditioning and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then we talked to the Collins Bros, who, I mean, all of those things came up when we were talking to them.
Amazing.
Then we talked about vampires in Romania and all of this dark Romanian stuff. If you smash all those things together and see like where they encroach upon the real world, there's no better place to look next than the Romanian prison camps, because that's where all of that comes to a head. Like all of these themes like thread together.
That's where it leads. That's where it ends up. If left to its own devices, that's where it ends up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that seems like the place to go next. But there's going to be a sort of a rest stop for the holidays. We're planning a holiday special.
Nice.
We want to talk about.
So like, are we? That's awesome.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. We want to talk about Christmas Carol, kind of the same way we treated Dracula. So
cool.
That's going to be a fun one.
The Dickens story.
Yeah.
The Dickens.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Exactly. So that's our next thing, and then we'll get into the deep dark prison stuff after that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I want to ask Josh a question, because we do need to hear Josh's voice more. Josh, how do you see? Talk to us about, because you know we're getting a sense of, you know, really interesting. I love how you put that, Jordan. It's like looking back on it, you can see this through line, right? It might have appeared to be, you know, topic to topic kind of jumping, but it's not, right? It's almost like it's been bringing you to where you're at now. Mm-hmm. How do you see the progression of the podcast, Josh? And in terms of, maybe talk to us about, how do you guys work together? Like what is kind of, what's your operation? How do you guys bring this podcast to life? In the internets.
How do we bring it to life in the internet? Dude, it's mostly
do you know what I'm saying? Like working with Jordan, like what's your guys's, you guys have a schedule? How do you guys plan together? Yeah. What's your team working together look like?
Like I said, it's mostly Jordan being good at stuff, being good at editing, and you know, the topics we'll throw stuff off each other to really decide what the topics are going to be. But a lot of it does seem quite providential in the next thing that we're going to come up with. Like, nice. A guy who might be on our prisons episode, Nick, he came to our parish and he hadn't really come out to an Orthodox church ever. And I started talking to him, and immediately out of nowhere through Signal, he was like, "Have you ever read this book, Saints of the Prisons?" And it was right after we were like, "Oh, we're gonna do an episode on prison camps." And then our priest just sent us George Kelsey videos, just like, "Hey, I thought you guys might be interested in this." So seem like this kind of like, oh, we'll have an idea and then we'll start getting texts, or like I'll read something online. It all just kind of comes together.
I think it's God and the saints just saying, hey, get this out there. People need to know. That's what it sounds like.
It sounds like it's almost as if we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, you guys.
Seriously.
It's almost like God has a plan and that his kingdom is current, right? And his people, his body are here, and we have things to do, right? There is a work to be done. And I love that hearing God bless those things and open those doors is very inspiring.
So inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes it feel meaningful, and it makes it feel like we're definitely on the right track with what we're doing.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, exactly. Definitely looking forward to that episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also, I like the way you said that it's like, there's a dimension of responsibility on top of it. It's not even about us. It's about getting that word out and trying to serve the Lord the way in our own imperfect way that we do. And it's really encouraging to hear you guys talk about this. Like, I don't usually think about it in such terms. But I do remember, like when all that stuff happened, it was like, this is providential.
Yeah.
Like, this is meant to be somehow. And it's a great feeling for sure. Well, and hopefully we can live up to the whatever it is.
Stay faithful.
Yes, stay faithful. I was going to ask if you guys please pray for us. I like to begin praying for you guys as well.
Yeah,
we definitely love you guys.
Likewise.
Love that.
Yeah. There's so many people in the world that you guys are trying to reach that just need truth and light.
Amen.
It's just so needed in that world specifically. People are just drifting. Got to catch them.
Can I talk about that in terms of, your podcast, we're still growing. We feel like we're in our infancy.
Yeah.
You guys, I think you're finding there is, Jordan, I loved how you were putting it earlier. I think you said something like after your car trip, right? You guys went on your car trip. You realize you're like, hey, this is interesting conversation. People might actually like this. People are, right? You guys are getting a decent sized following and your videos are getting, respectable numbers of views. And that's, I think that must be encouraging. What has that been like, you guys? Talk to us about your audience engagement and maybe the growth of your podcast. How has that been?
Anything for that?
It's all you.
How do I put this? I don't want to say I don't think too much about it. I mean, we get really nice people in the comments that are really encouraging. And the thing that comes to mind is I'm going to plug something else because I also have another side project that I have not been tending to very well. But it actually, before we started Synaxis Podcast, I started a channel called The Metal Mystic. I don't know if you saw it.
Okay.
We were talking about that just the other night.
Did you guys see those?
Yeah.
So that was obviously specifically geared more towards metal. And the first episode was about an artist that I loved listening to as a teenager, and I still kind of, in a guilty pleasure kind of way, I still really enjoy their music. But I mean, he's a blatant Satanist, and he's not bashful about it. And so I really wanted to kind of dissect that. And that video, I think it's because I kicked a hive and a bunch of Satanists got kind of angry at me, so they left all these comments, but it, like, all the engagement pushed it, and somehow, like, not overnight, but like really quickly, it got up to like 100,000 views.
Wow.
And
that's not the only reason. It's really well put together and it's good. It's a good channel. He's just saying that he kicked the hornet's nest. No, it's really well made, Jordan, and it's really good
absolutely
content.
Absolutely the guy for that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Amazing. So I guess, I don't know, like, in comparison to that, I'm not disappointed. I feel like the amount of views we get is good. I feel like we're doing pretty well, like you said.
Yeah.
But maybe that, like, initial success kind of, I don't know if I'm going to say desensitized, but maybe tempered my expectations or, it's a hard
the internet, Jordan, is a fickle place.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that kind of stuff. It's going to come sometimes, but mostly it's the daily grind.
Yeah.
You're going to build your guys' podcast over time. It's not usually going to be that big pop,
Mm-hmm. And sure.
It's that consistency.
That makes me think of something that I actually really did want to say on this point is that, like, I feel like we're still growing, and I almost want to stay a little bit under the radar while we kind of
hone your craft.
Yeah, exactly. While we hone our craft. Cause I don't really feel like, I think we are getting better, but especially when we first started, I was like, we're going to need to do this badly for a while before we get good at it. Sure. And
likewise.
Still, yeah. And, so I think that I'm really happy. I think we're probably more successful than I thought we would be. And I don't know.
Yeah. I'm glad we're growing.
Yeah, and we'll see where it goes. Yeah, and
absolutely, absolutely. I gotta mention, because you brought up music, Jordan, and I'm not sure if Josh, I have a feeling you're gonna have known who they are. Nick, I don't know if you will or not, but to this day, Jordan, I am a Me Without You fan.
Yeah.
Because of Jordan. And I thank you.
Yeah, we've seen Me Without You.
I don't think so.
They're amazing. I don't know. I don't know if you, Jordan, I'd love to hear your thoughts, because you know, they're not quite who they were.
Yeah.
But they are, they're this, well, actually, no, Jordan, you tell us about Me Without You.
Okay.
Because you're the man to tell it. They're this band.
I do want to say, the lyrics are amazing. We actually have an unreleased episode recorded, not edited, might never see the light of day, about Me Without You. We have like three or four or even like five episodes that just didn't get finished that might come out or might not. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, Me Without You is a really interesting band. They started out, I guess the genre people would call them is post-punk. They don't really fit into any genre, but
they don't.
Like the first album is pretty angsty, kind of heavy. They were young, angry kids. But there's a lot of poetry and like this yearning for God in the lyrics.
Big time poetry. The guy can
Aaron
write.
Aaron Weiss is a fantastic
player. Yes, Aaron, yeah. Exactly.
And they've kind of become something that I'm not super enthusiastic about is that they've kind of become syncretistic. They're Christian in a way, but it's also mixed with like a sort of comparative religion,
like a
mysticism. Yeah,
there's some Sufi stuff, and
yeah, and there's some of the songs I used to like a lot. I don't like as much now that I'm.
Now that you know more.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, now that I've grown more into the faith and I'm a little bit less, I don't know, loose with that kind of stuff.
Sure. Yeah,
but I mean, the thing that draws me to them is his struggle to find God in the world, and you can hear it in his voice. It's definitely like an acquired taste, I guess you could say. But because it's raw.
I'm thinking of like geez, Jordan, help me out. The cup can only spill what it contains.
Yes.
You know, he references the Eucharist. He references his sin and kind of like you said, Jordan, like his struggle with like Dostoevsky, like really struggling to live a faithful life. And it's beautiful.
And even he's such a good lyricist that it all comes through really powerfully.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a way with words that almost doesn't, I can't think of anybody else to compare it to.
Wow.
It's worth checking out, and it is really powerful stuff. They broke up, unfortunately, but it makes sense.
Did they really?
They had to move on. I think they were getting old, and they had families they wanted. They would rather be with their families than on the road. So
I think the lead singer is a The lead singer is a college professor in Idaho now.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
We spent a few hours talking. We'll have to release that at some point.
Yeah,
you got to release that. That's huge. That's even just for me. Just put it up private and share the link with Jeremy.
Okay.
I would love that.
Yeah, we'll do it for you.
That's really cool.
That's great.
Can I don't know if Nick, if you wanted to ask, I got another question I want to ask. This is going back a ways, Jordan. You ready for this?
Oh, I already know what it is. I think
you do. No, I don't. Not yet. Not yet. That's later, Jordan. One word. You ready? Perennialism. Where do you stand? Talk to us about it. First, maybe tell your audience, what is it?
Sure. Yeah, so I did. I talk about
this all the time.
Perennialism is a pretty niche thing. A bunch of these eggheads from like the 1920s came up with this idea that it's not as... Okay, sorry, I'm like fumbling over my words right now. Essentially, perennialism is the idea that the main religious traditions in the world are manifestations of one divine truth. But it's not as simple. It's a lot more nuanced than the kind of new agey, it's all just one thing, dude. It's all just names for the same thing. they emphasize the idea that you need to be a part of a traditional religious system. René Guénon is one of the most influential people in this sort of thought space, if you want to call it that. He was one of the most influential writers. Prithyab Shuan's another one, but René Guénon had a big influence on Father Seraphim Rose. That's kind of how I heard about him. And I still have a huge respect for some of his ideas, but what I've come to realize is that they don't understand the incarnation or the Trinity. And I think that's really what it comes down to. I believe that Christ is God incarnate, and he revealed the truth to the world and established the church. And that's it. That fulfills all of the things that all of those religions do have echoes of it. Mm-hmm. And we have, you know, St. Justin Martyr talks about the Logos Spermaticos, the seeds of the truth. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, even like the ancient pagans, if they lived according to it, we could call them Christians, even though they wouldn't have had that name back then. Mm-hmm. So there is, and it took me a while to struggle with this, because one of the things, and it definitely came out in our interactions early on, is one of the things that I needed time to square with myself is like the idea that there's like this exclusivity. But I think I've come to a certain place where I can accept that, and it makes sense to me now. Mm-hmm. But it took me a while to figure that out.
Yeah.
And we would like to do we have, as I'm sure you know, like there's like no shortage of things to talk about. And we would definitely like to do a deep dive episode on that.
I'm sure we will
eventually as well. So
yeah. Awesome. Was Alan Watts a part of that school of thought?
Not really. He was
okay.
Yeah. They were a little bit more rigorous than Alan Watts. Yeah.
Okay.
And like I said, they said that you have to stick to one path. One of the things I realized is they would say one thing, but they weren't consistent with it. Like Frithjof Schuon said, like you should be initiated into, like if you want to be a Christian, you should be an Orthodox Christian, because that's the most authentic version of that religion, and you should live according to its precepts as well as you can, and don't mix it with anything else.
Like
don't go to an ashram and do yoga and say you're a Christian and stuff like that. It's really dangerous to mix. And they have a lot of great critiques of like theosophy and all these new age religions. They have a lot of good things to say about modernism and scientism.
Sure.
A lot of useful stuff. And I still have a lot of respect for them. Mm-hmm. But I think that because they're so close to the truth, but they're not quite there, there's a huge danger in them as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a temptation and a lot of perennialism to just look at the religious traditions having like an esoteric inner part that's the same and just an exoteric shell that's different. And that's the danger for a lot of like new age syncretistic people who just look at it. It's like, yeah, they'll do it's all the same, bro. Like Hinduism and Advaita Vedanta is really just orthodoxy at its core, and it's not. So it becomes a temptation for modern people.
Sure. What I love, because it's like you said, I mean, you absolutely nailed it. It all comes down to the incarnation. Mm-hmm. It comes down to Christ, period.
Yeah.
You know, because the way, the truth, the life, right? The faith once and for all delivered. It really is that if you don't have that, that's when you start to... you can drift. And I know, you know, I remember our conversations, Jordan, we had talked, you know, a lot, you know, back in the day. And I was never as much, I didn't have the same affinity for perennialism as you did. Mm-hmm. I think because my roots were maybe a little bit more conservative in terms of, wasn't willing to allow myself to even entertain those notions. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating to see, Jordan, that journey, you know, that you've gone through. I remember one of the last times I saw you in person, you had said You go, Jeremy, I'm going to do my Batman moment. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember. I'm going to escape. Yeah. Go out into the mountains and yes, hone my skills and come back.
And I'm seeing the Jordan, the Batman Jordan is back.
Nice.
It's great. It's fantastic.
That's great.
I've left those childish things behind, Jeremy. Batman's the children.
Yeah. You're talking about vampires now, dang it.
I'm a vampire slayer now. Exactly. I'm hunting them down. I think the big question with perennialism is the question that Christ asked to Peter, who do you say that I am? Or all of his disciples, right?
Yeah.
Who do the others, who does the crowd, you know, who do they say that I am? Who do you say that I am?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
That's the big thing. And it goes back to the incarnation, right?
That's but that's the stumbling block within perennialism, because they'll affirm all that. They'll say, yeah, you have to believe Christ is what he says he is if you're a Christian.
Interesting.
If you're Christian,
yeah,
see, that's right.
Yeah. So
if you're not,
and I've said this on the podcast.
If you're a Muslim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just a prophet.
He's just the prophet.
And that's the way it is. And that's the way it is in that realm. Because I've said this on the podcast, I think in our first episode, you kind of have to start doing some mental gymnastics. So the way I was thinking about it was, it's almost like a multiverse of religions, and Christ enters each of them in a different way. But he didn't enter any of the other ones as a human being.
Uh-huh.
It's only in Christianity where he took humanity upon himself. That's the crux of it right there.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Or he entered in some of them, those other alternate universes, you might say he maybe entered as a human, but merely as a human, you could
not
say,
as God
and not as God. Right.
Yeah.
I don't think the universes are split that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I was using your analogy.
That's no, exactly. Incredible. And one thing I would
probably
think,
should be very careful, right? Yeah. We are not, not supporting.
Yeah. We don't support that.
We're getting kind of into the weeds and all this stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. Sorry guys. I didn't mean, but see, you know what though, but I love about this for our audience that's watching this right now. I think this is a great kind of snapshot of the conversations that you guys are having, right? Of your engagement with those other ideas out there, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the beauty of what you guys are bringing to the table, because you're able to talk about it on a much deeper level than I ever could. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate both of you for doing that. And again, having the courage to do it. I couldn't do what you guys are doing. I just, you know, and so I want you guys to remember there's a lot of people in this world who are getting value out of hearing your thoughts and your reflections on these things. I mean, Jordan, you spent years looking into that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got this basis of knowledge that you can now look at it from a new perspective, or maybe a more, you know, like you said, a more orthodox perspective, a deeper orthodox perspective. That's a valuable thing.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's like I said, it's.
Oh, hey, so hey, you guys, it just froze.
Oh, sorry, you guys
sorry,
there?
Guys,
yeah, we're back.
Can you still see, hear us, and see us?
Mm-hmm. It's all good.
Okay, sorry about that, Jordan. It froze, man.
Yeah, right when you were thinking, you were like, "I'm thinking," and then you were just frozen there.
What did I even say? Was it worth saying? I don't know. I think I was really just reiterating what I said earlier. Is just I'm trying to untangle all these knots that I've been caught in my whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what it comes down to. I don't know what to add to that.
God willing, you guys can help other people out of the same weeds.
Yeah. Amen. God willing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You guys, it's been a pleasure talking with you guys, and we're really excited to continue this on. You know, I'll say right now, I'm not sure how this is going to be, whether this is part one or part two. But if you want more of our conversation with Josh and Jordan of the Synaxis podcast, go to their channel. And I'm going to give you guys the last word. Let us know, where can our audience find you? How do you want them to contact you? And then we'll go from there.
You want to take it?
It's Synaxis podcast on YouTube. That would be the best. We also have an Instagram page and a Twitter by the same name.
Nice.
Jordan nice. Also has Metal Mystic. Check that out and check his YouTube channel because it's really good.
Nice. Yeah, and we're trying to get on more podcast platforms and nice. Yeah. So thanks so much for having
thanks
us.
Thanks a lot
guys.
For having us on, guys.
Thanks for coming on.
It's been wonderful. Yeah.
Glory be to God. Thank you. And you guys, I hope this is the beginning of a long conversation and friendship between our podcasts and our audience.
Yeah,
our it is. I have no doubt.
No doubt.
Amen.
Yeah, we'll have you on again.
Awesome. Likewise. Thanks.
Yep.
Likewise. Godspeed.
Yeah, God bless.
Thank you. Godspeed. Thanks for listening. Amen.
Bye, everybody.